from John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. To the Jews that had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 15th, 2017. And I chose that passage because today is the second part in an Alpha Course presentation by Nikki Gumbel entitled, "Why Did Jesus Die?" And this Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he died for our sins to set us free. So please stay listening for the next 20 or so minutes as you'll realize the importance of why Jesus, in fact, died for you, died for me. I'll begin today's broadcast right where we left off yesterday, as Nikki Gumbel was illustrating why, in fact, Jesus died and what it meant that he went to the cross for us. But I must first share that the Alpha Talk presented by Nikki Gumbel is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find out more about Alpha at alphausa.org. And today's broadcast on Great News Radio is produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, with this Alpha Talk copyrighted 2002 through 2006. Yesterday and today's talk entitled "Why Did Jesus Die?" is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. Here's Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course.
He endured crucifixion for us. Cicero described crucifixion as the most cruel and hideous of tortures. Jesus was stripped and tied to a whipping post. He was flogged with four or five thongs of leather interwoven with sharp, jagged bone and lead. Eusebius, the 3rd century historian, described Roman flogging in these terms. The sufferer's veins were laid bare, and the very muscles, sinews, and bowels of the victim were open to exposure. He was then taken to the praetorium, where a crown of thorns was thrust on his head. He was forced to carry a heavy crossbar on his bleeding shoulders until he collapsed. When they reached the site of crucifixion, he was again stripped naked. He was laid on the cross, and 6-inch nails were driven into his forearms just above the wrist. His knees were then twisted sideways so that the ankles could be nailed between the tibia and the Achilles tendon. He was lifted up on the cross, which was then dropped into a socket in the ground. There he was left to hang in intense heat and unbearable thirst, exposed to the ridicule of the crowd. He hung there in unthinkable pain for 6 hours while his life slowly drained away. It was the height of pain and depth of shame. Yet, the New Testament does not concentrate on the physical agony of Jesus, or even on the emotional pain of being rejected by the world, deserted by his friends. What it concentrates on is, and this is what is unique, because other people have suffered physically, but what was unique to Jesus was the spiritual suffering, because he was cut off from his Father for us as he carried our sins. Would you like to turn right back in the Bible to Isaiah 53, verse 6? "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I really struggled to understand Jesus dying on the cross. I went and I heard talks about it. It just doesn't make sense. Someone died 2,000 years ago for me. I mean, it just doesn't work. I couldn't understand it at all. And I went to hear a talk by a man called David McInnes, and he was speaking on this verse, and he said this. He said, "Let this hand represent you and me, your life and my life. Let this book represent the things that we do wrong, the things that cause this barrier between us and God." And he said, "Let this hand represent Jesus." Jesus never did anything wrong. He lived a sinless life. There was no barrier between him and his Father. What the verse says is, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And then it says this, "The Lord has laid on him on Jesus, on the cross, the iniquity of us all. Jesus on the cross was carrying your sin and my sin. And therefore he was cut off from God, not because of what he'd done, because of what we've done. That's why he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was cut off not for his own sin, but for our sin. And then the speaker said this, "Do you see where that leaves us, where it leaves you and me? Free to have a relationship with God." So what is the result? God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that there are results. And the cross, it's like a beautiful diamond. You know, if you have a really beautiful diamond, you can look at it at different angles and you can see different colors, different lights. And you can look at the cross from so many different angles, and however many angles you look at it, you'll never fathom the full depth and beauty of it. And as I say, it's a mystery in a sense. But the New Testament tells us there are many different angles too. One is that it shows just how much God loves you. If you ever doubt God loves you, look at the cross. Greater love, Jesus says, there's no person than this, and they lay down their life for their friends. It also tells us something about the nature of God. Sometimes people say, well, it's the biggest question probably ever asked, the biggest moral objection to the Christian faith. How can there be so much suffering in the world? How can God allow so much suffering? And we don't have any simple answers. It's a very, very difficult question. But we do know this. God himself is not aloof from suffering. He has come in the person of his Son, and he suffered for us, and he now suffers alongside of us. The cross and the resurrection, because in a sense it's like one event, the cross and resurrection, also tell us that actually evil has been defeated. Because Jesus rose from the dead, the cross really worked, and the powers of death and evil have been defeated. There's so many different aspects. But I just want to look at four images in the New Testament. What the New Testament is trying to do is to say, look, have a look at this picture. See whether this helps you. First, we see this. The result of the cross is, if you like, the slate has been wiped clean. And we can make a new start. That's the picture from the temple. In the Old Testament, there were very careful laws about what happened when you did something wrong. Basically, you had to go to the temple and you got an animal and you confessed your sins over the animal. And the picture was, it was just a picture. The picture was that your sin passed from you to the animal, who was then sacrificed. But people knew that that couldn't really work. The writer of Hebrews says it's impossible for the blood of bulls or goats to take away sins. They are only a shadow. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was the one perfect sacrifice. And St. John tells us that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It washes away that pollution of sin in our lives. It wipes the slate clean. It enables us to make a new start. Another result is that we can be set free from the bad stuff, the habits, the addictions. That's a picture from the marketplace. What happened in the ancient world is, just like today, people got themselves into debt. And one of the ways to get yourself out of debt was to sell yourself into slavery. So you'd go to the marketplace and you'd have a price around your neck, which were your debts, and someone would buy in order to pay off those debts, but buy you into slavery. And that was called a ransom price. A kind person might come along and offer to pay that and set you free. Jesus said, "I've come to give my life as a ransom to set us free." I heard the singer Lionel Richie being interviewed on television by Jeremy Vine. And he was saying that he came from a very poor background. But he started to make money out of his singing, and one time it was his father's birthday. And he gave his father this huge present. And his father was really excited about it. But as he took off the wrapping paper, he found there was more wrapping paper inside. And then he took off another layer, there was more wrapping paper, and more wrapping paper. And this present just got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And he could see his father's face falling. And eventually he got to the heart of it, which was just a little tiny piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, it just said this: all debts paid. And his father said, well, you paid my credit card debt? He said, yeah, I've paid off all your credit cards. He said, well, what about the car? He said, yeah, I've paid off the car. I said, well, what about the mortgage? He said, yeah, I've paid off your mortgage. All debts paid. That's what Jesus did on the cross. All debts paid. And Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You really will be free. Now, of course, certainly in my case, it's a process. Some things I found when I came to Christ, instantly I was set free. Other things, it's taking a long time. It's a process. But Jesus sets us free. I think of a man, Billy Nolan, who used to sit outside this church for 20 years. It's all he did all day, sit outside there drinking wine. He'd run away from the Merchant Navy at the age of 18. He'd been an alcoholic for 38 years. On the 13th of May, 1990, he looked in the mirror and he thought, you're not the Billy Nolan I once knew. And to use his own words, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ into his life. That moment, he was instantly set free from alcohol addiction. He has not touched a drop of alcohol since. We can often see him in the back of church, smartly dressed, arms in the air, worshipping God. I saw him once in the car park. I said, Billy, you look so happy. He said, I am. Life is like a maze. And at last, I found the way out through Jesus Christ. Third result. We can receive total forgiveness. He goes to the temple, he goes to the marketplace, he goes to the law court. Paul says that through Christ's death, we have been justified. Justified is a legal term. If you went to court and you were acquitted, you were justified. I've told you, I really found it difficult to understand the cross. People said Jesus died for him. Doesn't work. This illustration was the one that helped me most of all. Somebody said to me, there were two friends at school. They were great friends. They went to university together. They were great friends at university. Then they went their separate ways. One of them went on to become a lawyer and then a judge. The other one went into a life of crime. And one day, the criminal appeared before his old friend, the judge. And the judge was faced with a dilemma. Because he loved his friend, but he had to do justice. That, if you like, is God's dilemma. He loves us, but there has to be justice. He can't just say, just like that judge couldn't just say, oh, well, you're an old friend, I'll let you go. So, in this illustration, the judge fined him the appropriate, he pleaded guilty, he fined him the appropriate penalty for the offence, let's say £20,000. And then he took off his robes, he went round the other side and he wrote out a cheque for £20,000. He paid the penalty himself. That is what God has done for us in Christ. Of course the illustration breaks down because God's love is far greater than just a friend. The offence is far greater than deserving just a fine. And the cost is far higher than writing a cheque. It cost Jesus his very life on the cross. But the picture is that the penalty has been paid. And therefore it's possible for us to be completely forgiven. And then, fourth, we can become part of God's family. That's the picture of the home. The root and result of sin is a broken relationship. It's like a parent and child who've fallen out. You know how it is when you fall out in a relationship and you kind of don't want to look at that person in the eye because you know there's something between you. There's a barrier. And the result of the cross is the possibility of a restored relationship with God. St. Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. He says, God was in Christ reconciling the world, that's you and me, to himself. This is the answer to what would otherwise be something totally barbaric. If it was that Jesus was a kind of innocent third party that God sort of punished instead of us, that would be barbaric. But what the verse says is this: God was in Christ. That's why last week's talk is so important. Because if Jesus is not God, it doesn't work. But God was in Christ. God came himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. And therefore it's possible for us to be reconciled to God. And when we're reconciled to God, this is one of the things I love about Alpha, watching then other relationships being restored. Husbands and wives sometimes. Parents and children. God loves us. That's the heart of the Christian message. He loves you and he loves me. And the way that Paul puts it in Galatians 2 verse 20 is this: the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. It's as personal as that. If you had been the only person in the world, Jesus would have died for you. When I finally understood, the kind of penny dropped, that Jesus had died for me, that was a totally life-changing moment. But I realized that a response was required. The verse says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believed in him should not die, but have eternal life. The response is to believe, to accept, if you like, the gift that he offers. To go back to the illustration of the two friends at university, one becoming a judge and one becoming a criminal. You remember in that illustration that the judge came and offered his friend a check. So, in effect, God offers you a check tonight. I've written out this check. It's on the Bank of Heaven. And it's for forgiveness, freedom, cleansing, reconciliation, eternal life. By the pound sign, I've just written all the riches of heaven. And it's signed the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus made it possible through what he did on the cross. It's dated today, because it's today that he makes the offer. And by the place for the name, I've left that blank, so that you can fill in your name. And he offers you a gift. But he'll never force us. He loves us, but love never forces. Love never imposes. He offers a gift. And we have a choice. We can tear up the check and say, no thank you. Or we can receive it and say, thank you for dying for me. I'd love us just to take a moment of quiet, and possibly for if there's somebody here who would like to pray, to have the opportunity to pray, because in a prayer we can accept this gift, and I want to make it possible. It may just be one person here who would like to accept, receive this gift tonight. And I want to pray a prayer. It's a very simple prayer, saying, sorry, thank you, please. And it's a way of believing, if you like, a way of accepting the gift. Of course, there's plenty of time, and I don't want anyone, it's very early in the course, there'll be lots of other opportunities. So don't, if you're not ready, please don't feel under any pressure to do anything. But if you'd like to pray tonight, here's a prayer which you could pray. In the silence of your heart, I won't embarrass you by asking you to pray out loud. In the silence of your heart, you can pray a prayer which is a way of receiving this gift. Just echo these words in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I'm sorry for the things in my life that have been wrong. I now turn away from everything that I know is wrong. And I now receive your gift of forgiveness. I put my trust in what you did on the cross for me. And I ask you please to come and fill me with your Holy Spirit, to give me the strength to lead the kind of life that deep down I'm longing to lead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Dear listening friend, I don't know if you've prayed that prayer or have additional questions about having a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share an 800 number with you where there are wonderful folks ready to answer any and all of your questions. you can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. If you may have just prayed that prayer to ask Jesus into your heart, or you want to know more about having a relationship with God. Yesterday and today's broadcast, Why Did Jesus Die, are archived at greatnewsradio.org, so you can listen to them again or paste them into an email and send them on to a friend. Thank you for listening to this broadcast on Great News Radio. This was a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find out more about Alpha at alphausa.org. This broadcast on Great News Radio, produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, with the Alpha Talks, copyright 2002 to 2006. Now, if the last few weeks of the Alpha broadcasts have been helpful to you, how about contacting us and let us know your thoughts? We can be reached by mail at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. As your feedback would be so helpful as we plan programming for the future. And know, as they say, we're scratching where you itch. Also, my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and I have been praying up maybe a follow-up series in October, November, and then the first part of the year, where we'd take you through a series of classes at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square with an introduction, or I guess we'd say an Old and New Testament survey, a series of classes taking us through the Old Testament, basically a great overview, and then the New Testament, maybe 8 weeks into the Old Testament and 5 weeks of the New Testament. So we're praying that all up, thinking it all through, trying to plan it out, and determining whether we'd have a meal and then a lecture and then break into small groups, very similar to the Alpha course, but focusing on an Old Testament and New Testament survey. So be praying that up with us. And we'll have more information and details in the coming days as we seek clarity and confirmation from God. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.